let's just remember the scene, the times, as we started on this study of Abraham last week. So it's in the world after the flood. After the flood and after the Tower of Babel. So the sons of Noah are beginning to fill the earth again. Shem, Ham and Japheth. But just like after Adam was given the newly created world, so the sons of these men had also rebelled, just like Adam did. There's been like a new fall, really. And the people have been scattered after the Tower of Babel. They're split up into different families, which become different tribes and different nations as they grow. And they're scattered in the earth. Now, at this time, Abraham is actually known as Abram. That was his name. That was the name he was born with. Abraham, well, that's a name he receives later. So we've got to call him Abram at first, as you see in the text. And yeah, you've got it on the other side of your sheet as well as the notes. You've got the verses. Now, Abram, he's one of the descendants of Shem, the son of Noah. And so he's what we can call a Shemite, or one of the Semitic people. We could also call him a Hebrew, because one of his ancestors was called Eber. But those sons of Shem had received a prophecy. The prophecy that they would live in the land of Canaan. That is, they would inhabit the land of Canaan, who was cursed. Remember that last week? End of Genesis chapter 9, Noah spoke that prophecy. Now, Abram, he's married to his half-sister called Sarai. She's mentioned in verse 5. It's his wife, but also his half-sister. His elder brother was called Haran, but his elder brother Haran has died. Haran, that elder brother, had a son called Lot, so Abram's nephew Lot. He's mentioned in these verses as well. There in verse 5, again, his nephew Lot, son of Haran. Haran also had a daughter. As well as Lot, his son, he had a daughter, Milcah. Not mentioned in these verses. But Milcah was married to Abram's brother, Nahor. He's still with us. If you go up to chapter 11, verse 26, you see there's three brothers, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran's dead by the time we start the story. And Nahor marries one of Haran's daughters called Milcah. Haran's son is called Lot, and we'll meet him a bit. Now, they began in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. That's near to Babylon. And that's a place where they worship false gods. They're idolaters. And this family were idolaters. They worshipped false gods. Everybody there worshipped false gods. But we know that Abram did, because it's mentioned later in the scriptures. I think I've given you the reference in your notes to Joshua chapter 24. It says they lived on the other side of the river Euphrates. That's the river that goes down to Babylon. And there they worshipped false gods. That's the people they were. Now, we're studying the life of Abram because we're studying our roots. We're studying the roots of the church. The roots which we are now growing up from. So that's where we are. After the flood, here's this family. And they're in this place of the Chaldees, and they're idolaters. And what we're going to look at is the call of Abram, because that's how it all begins. Begins when he receives a call from God. And the lesson is all about faith, because when God calls you, you have to respond with faith. When God speaks, you have to believe him, and you have to obey him. Abram, he's the father of the faithful. That's the way we know him. So let's look at what happened. First, the call comes in verse 1. It says, the Lord had said to Abram. So when he was in Ur of the Chaldees, which is mentioned in verse 31 of the previous chapter, that they set out from Ur of the Chaldees. But when they were there, before they set out, God called him. And this is what he said. He said, leave your country, your people, your father's household. Go to the land I show you. Now the first thing we should say, it was a gracious call. It wasn't because Abraham was any better. It wasn't because his family was better than any other family. No, they were worshippers of idols just like everybody else in Babylon. But God chose them. That's how salvation always starts. God chooses people who don't deserve it. He sets his eye and he sets his heart on people and says, those ones I am going to bring to myself. It starts with God's grace. Now many families in Ur, but God said, this is the one whom I am selecting. At this time, Abraham had done nothing. He deserved nothing. But God chose to call him out of his grace. The Bible says that we were first given grace before the world began in Jesus Christ. When we'd done nothing good or bad, God chose us in Jesus Christ. And the reasons are all in himself. Now I say, God, why? Why me? Why Abraham? Why not someone else? And God just says, those are secret things and I keep them to myself. You just know that I've chosen you and I love you and I'll keep you. Now when God calls, he looks for a response. The Lord spoke to Abraham and he told him to do something. He placed demands on him and he looked for obedience from him. He told him to leave his country, leave his people, leave his father's household and go out from there. And true faith shows itself in obedience. Where there's no obedience, there's no faith. If somebody says, I love God, I trust him, I've got faith, and yet there's no obedience in their life, then we're quite justified to say that person is lying. Maybe we say they're mistaken, they're deluded, they fooled themselves, but they're not telling the truth. God is the God of those who follow his call. It's not enough to have a call, but you have to follow that call. God is known as the God of Abraham because Abraham believed God and he went out. That's how that name came, that he's the God of Abraham, because Abraham believed the call and he followed him. Now you can see that the call was very costly. Look at verse 1, all the things he had to give up. It says, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, leave your place, leave your people, and your father's household. Go to the land I will show you. So he had to leave behind everything. Everything that he knew. Even his own people. Now if we were to read the end of chapter 11. You'd actually see he did that in two parts. The Ur of the Chaldees is over in the east in Babylon. Now the land of Canaan is over by the Mediterranean Sea. West of him, but nobody travels this way, nobody travels directly across because it's desert. There's no water, you can't go that way. You have to follow the river Euphrates up and then down again. And on that route, it's fertile, it's good land, and you can get food. And there's lots of people who are stationed along the way. So Abraham went out from Ur of the Chaldees, and where's the place he went to? Look at verse 31. It says they came to Haran. And you'll say, wait a minute, somebody mentioned Haran earlier. Well, that's the name of one of Abraham's brothers, Haran. They went to a place called Haran. Well, quite likely they gave it the name of their brother. Why did they give it his name? Because he died. verse 28, when his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. So when they went out from Ur up to this place, and they gave it their own name after their brother, as a memory of him. But quite a few of them came up there, including Terah. In verse 31, Baba Abram, Terah, he went with them up there. But God's call was to leave behind even his father's household. So I'm beginning to get this. Not just to leave behind Ur of the Chaldees, not just to leave behind his people, but even his father's household. And so it says, verse 32, whilst they were up there in Haran, Terah died too. And so they were all left behind. That was God's call to Abraham. Faith is costly. God gives us his word. And when the call comes, we've got nothing else. The only thing we have is his word. That's our map. But we have to then step out with it. There's a missionary called Jim Elliot. Actually, he died. He was murdered by those he went to preach the gospel to. But he said, the man is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in exchange for what he cannot lose. All the things in this life you cannot keep. And so if you give them up, you only gave up something that you were having to give up anyway one day. But if you gain God in Christ, if you gain an eternal inheritance, you can't lose it. You're not a fool if you give up something that you could never keep in order to gain something that you will never lose. There was also a man called C.T. Studd. He was a famous sportsman over 100 years ago. But he was a famous sportsman. He played for the England cricket team. But he said, if Jesus Christ is God and he died for me, then no sacrifice is too big for him. And that makes sense, doesn't it? If Jesus Christ is God and if he died for you, what can be too big a sacrifice for him? Nothing. So faith isn't foolishness. Faith makes sense. Yes, it's costly. Everything has to be offered up to God for his use as he pleases. But it's not foolish. But faith is looking past the benefits on earth. On the back here, I've printed some other verses as well as the passage. There's the ones from Joshua that I mentioned, where Joshua says that they were idolaters. Well, but next, from the book of Hebrews, it says, by faith Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed, he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Then the next verses tell us he was happy to be a stranger, a foreigner on earth. He was looking for a better country. Verse 16, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. You see, Abraham in Ur and in Haran, it seems he already had a family. He already had wealth. He already had servants. He had a home. So he understood when God was calling him. God was calling him to something better, to something greater. I think we can say that Abraham was a rich man before he got to know God. Even as an idolater, it seems, he had many servants. But when God called him, he left those things behind. And he believed that God was promising him an inheritance that was longer lasting, that had a true, lasting glory in it. He wasn't looking for health and wealth in this life, because he'd have just stayed in Ur. He'd have said, this is a good city. This is one of the richest cities on the earth. Let me stay here. But when God called him to leave it, he began to look for a heavenly, a spiritual inheritance. So have you heard God's call to you upon your life? That everything you have here to leave behind for him. Now, we don't leave it behind necessarily in the same literal way Abraham did. But maybe someone here God will call and he'll say, you need to go into southern Sudan and to preach the gospel there. No, you need to go and preach in the Congo or in Burundi. That might be God's call to you. But whatever the details, God says, I want everything from you. I want your heart. I want your soul. I want you to put me first now, even above your own father's household. Now in this call, secondly, as we move on to verses 2 and 3, God gave promises. God doesn't only make demands, he gives gracious promises. He says, here's what I will do. And the promise to Abraham, or to Abram, had three parts. If you look at verses 2 and 3, well, he said, I'll make you a great nation. You, Abraham, will become a great nation. Now, Abraham at this time, he had no children. It's back there in verse 30, Sarai was barren, she had no children. But God says, I'm going to take you, and I'm not just going to make you a family, but a mighty nation. Do you have many descendants? Secondly, he said, I'm going to give you a land. Actually, he said that firstly, that's in verse 1. Go to the land I will show you. He was going to have an inheritance. He was going to have a place. The third part is that he would have a great blessing. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. And this blessing was to be for all peoples, not just for himself. You know, if God blesses you, it's so that you can be a blessing to others. He doesn't just bless you so that you can say, ah, now I've got the good life. No, if much is given to you, then much is required from you. But for Abraham, it's going to be a very unique and wonderful blessing. Look at verse 3. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. All the tribes and the families of the earth will gain their blessing through Abraham, through the things God was to do with him. Now, the Apostle Paul in Galatians, you've got that on your sheet, he says, here was the beginning of the gospel, as God began to bring it into the world after Babel. Here was the beginning. He says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, the nations, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Paul says that was an announcement of the gospel, that blessing would come to the world through Abraham. There was the good news. It was spoken to Abraham. So his call was a great responsibility. It was a heavy weight that God would give to him and help him to carry. That he needed to be faithful as part of God's plan to bless all the nations. Adam had sinned in the garden and the world had been cursed. Noah's sons had rebelled at the Tower of Babel. And so the earth hadn't again gained the blessing after the flood. The flood had washed the earth, but the plan had then gone backwards. But now God comes and says, it's through you, Abraham. You're the one who's going to bring the blessing to the world. See, these promises were ultimately about the Lord Jesus Christ. We said God promised him an inheritance and a great nation and a great blessing. But we're told also that Abraham was looking not just for an earthly land, not just for an earthly inheritance, but he was looking beyond it to the heavenly blessing. And the true inheritance is found in Christ. And Christ is the one who's making all things new. Christ will finish that work and give us the new heavens and the new earth. And that is the final goal. That is the final inheritance that was promised here. That's what Abraham was told to look for. You see, these promises couldn't just finish with Abraham. How can he become a great nation? No, it would take years, it would take generations. Even if he had 20 sons, and even if those sons each had 20 sons, what have you got there? You've still only got 400 grandchildren. It's not enough to be a great nation. No, it was a promise that was to take a long time. How could Abraham inherit a whole land? And that land, we're told, was full of the Canaanites. No, it was a promise that was for a long way off. Even when Abraham would have died, he was to look for that. The fulfillment was in Christ. And so, as it says in Galatians here, these verses we've got, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. The true children are those who are inheriting these promises, which is you and me, if we believe in Christ. You might not be a Semite. You might not have any Jewish blood in you at all. But if you have the same faith as Abraham, then you're part of the plan. You're part of the story. These promises are for you. The Bible says that every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And that was God's purpose. That it would be fulfilled in him. Oh. These were God's promises. Abraham had to trust these promises. That's faith, when you trust the promises God gave. Faith is not just hoping for the best. You know, somebody who's never read the Bible, they never open it, and they just say, I've got faith. But you have some faith in what? What are you looking for? What are you hoping for? Has God promised you something? When did he promise it to you? What did he say? You have to have the scriptures before you can know about God's promises. Faith rests on something solid, not just on our imagination. You can't really say, I've got faith that I'm going to start a big business next year. That's not the kind of faith we're looking at here. That's just a hope. It's a desire. But faith is trusting words that God himself has spoken. And that was the promise to Abraham. Now you can remember it very easily. And this is a way that has helped hundreds and thousands of Christians. You say, the promise was of God's people in God's place with God's rule and blessing. That's the three parts. God's people, a great nation. In God's place, I give you an inheritance, a land, under God's rule and blessing. That's what was promised to him. That was the covenant that God made with Abraham. And when he called him to leave everything and to receive this covenant. You know, when we preach Jesus Christ, we tell people to leave everything of their own, leave their sins, leave their own desires and their own wisdom, but to embrace God's promises in Jesus Christ. That they too, they can become God's people. That the inheritance in Christ can be theirs. And they can live under God's blessing. Now for Abraham, these were just promises. That is, he wasn't told he had to earn them, but they were freely given to him. There was no curse for Abraham. Look in verse 3, there was a curse, but not for him. There was a curse for those who would curse him. Abraham was just promised this as a free gift. And it's the same in the gospel, the fulfillment in Christ. The curse fell on Jesus on the cross. He was cursed. He carried the crown of thorns. But we're promised blessing in him. Now the rest of the verses, from 4 up to 9, we see his response. So Abraham left, verse 4. He obeyed, as the Lord had told him. Lot went with him. It's always good if we take people with us, especially if we can take our family with us. You know, I'm going to heaven. I want to take my family with me, so I teach them the things of God, so that they can set out on the journey too. Lot came. It says Abraham was 75 years old. Not a young man. If you come and tell a man of 75 years old to leave his place, to leave all his comfort, to leave everything he knows, he may tell you, you know, I'm old now. When I was young, I wanted some adventure. I could go on a safari, but now, not now. But Abraham obeyed because God had called him. And as he went, he gave thanks and he worshipped. So we're told the places he went through. So he'd gone up to Haran and now he was coming down into the land of the Canaanites. That is, into the land of Canaan, where Canaan, the son of Ham, had settled with his children. But there, verse 7, God appeared to him again and he built an altar. Verse 7, he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. And also when he went to another place towards the hills east of Bethel, verse 8, he pitched his tent and there he built an altar to the Lord. Everywhere he went, he gave thanks and he worshipped the Lord. He had no son yet. He owned no land. But he worshipped God because he believed the things God had said. We don't wait until we see before we worship. No, it's because we worship as we go along week by week that's how we know that we'll receive as we grow strong. As God works in us, we grow more sure. But we worship as we go, giving thanks. Now that Abraham had obeyed, God spoke to him again. So verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, to your descendants, your seed, I will give this land. So Abraham had left Ur, had gone up to Haran, now he's coming down to Canaan, and now God says, this is the place. This is the one I spoke to you about. When I said I show you a land, you're now in that land. So God gave him more knowledge. After he obeyed, he then received more understanding later on. That's the way it is. We must obey the things we know. Do our duties that we already know. And then God will show us more, give us more understanding as we go. We don't say, well, these things are difficult, so I'm going to do nothing. No, we obey what we know, then God will strengthen us as we are on the way. Now the time passed, and you see in verse 9 it says, he set out and he continued towards the Negev. The word Negev, it just means the south. He's come down and he's going through the land of Canaan, and he's passing even beyond it, into that bit that now we know as Saudi Arabia, south of the land of Israel. So the time passed. The years went on. Abraham had to keep trusting God because he hasn't yet received the things that are promised. But he has faith. He's acted on that faith. And God has been with him and strengthened him and given him more light and more knowledge. But he's walking with these promises day by day. To be children of Abraham, we have to do the same. We have the promise that we'll be part of a great people in glory, that we will inherit the earth, that we will be blessed and not cursed. But we must have faith as we go along the way. And then we will be true sons and daughters of Abraham.